Wait, is everybody recording?
Yep, everyone's recording.
Hold on. I actually started doing a bit and then realized I wasn't recording.
nice work. Nice.
Biggest genius on the pod. Nice. Okay, I'm recording. Has everybody heard the big news in weed now that everybody has legalized it pretty much, like most of the states? They're finally dropping weed too.
Oh, shit. Hooray. Finally.
Does weed too fix the bug where I have panic attacks when I smoke anything that's more than 1% sativa?
Yeah, weed too actually doesn't induce anxiety. It only decreases anxiety. It's all the best things from regular weed and all the best things from opium.
Oh, I think they have that at my local gas station on the spice rack.
I think K2.
It's called oregano. That's guys, check it out. You can get bulk oregano. It's like $2. You can still smoke it. It's almost the same as smoking weed.
Let me tell you a real story that happened to me today. We were out doing some Christmas shopping, and I saw a place called Fresh Time, which claims to be a farmer's market, but it's just a bougie grocery store. And we went in there to buy some toilet paper because we needed some. And in their vitamin section, they had fucking CBD gummies in like a regular grocery store.
Wow, sick.
You don't have to go to your head shop anymore.
That's how you know that they don't work. It's like voting. If it changed anything, it would be illegal. All right.
That's my favorite thing about CBD. Because like when I was in Colorado, this was like 2 years ago, everything was CBD, right? Like you go to any coffee shop, they'd be like, would you like CBD added to your espresso for 75 cents? You'd be like, fuck yeah, put that diet weed in there.
Sure, why not?
They're calling it diet weed. It's like weed, but it doesn't work.
Makes you want
weed
to die.
Too. Bad weed.
Diet weed. We got weed too. What's next? Crystal weed? See-through
crystal
weed?
It's like Crystal Pepsi.
Weed Zero.
It's like pop rocks made of weed.
Zero. Oh, man.
All of the weed, vanilla none of weed. The calories.
Yeah. Weed too. Hyper weed.
Hyper weed.
New weed. It's Tesla like new Coke. Weed. It's like a little sweeter everyone dislikes it.
And then people are like, oh man, I just smoke that weed that you get from Mexico. Still comes in the glass bottle. They use real cane sugar.
Yeah, there's a little worm in there.
No, it's no worm. No weed worm.
Yeah, there's a little worm in there.
I don't want that.
The fucking Mexican Cokes are sometimes a lie, by the way. They don't even make those Mexican Cokes in Mexico anymore. Coke figured out that people liked them and started producing them more cheaply in the United States. And that's awesome. Right.
Well, you know what? As an America First podcast, I'm glad they're bringing our manufacturing home.
Yeah.
That's right. True. Donald Trump created all those jobs because he was the first guy who loved Mexican Coke.
he was really trying to help us all out this entire time, right? Like, that's why he put those huge gaps in the wall. He was like, I'm going to pretend like I'll build a wall, but really it'll just be a bunch of pillars that pretty much anybody can walk through.
Look, folks, there's just something about McDonald's Sprite. It'd be hitting different. When the McDonald's Sprite come out the machine, you know, it's like chewing five gum.
We're saying, a lot of people are saying that Travis Scott doesn't know what he's talking about, but I tell you, that meal,
Travis Scott very delicious.
It's very good. It's a great, it's an incredible deal.
Promises made, promises kept. Mm-hmm. You know it, folks. You love to see it. The McRib is back, folks. It's back.
What if they make a Donald Trump meal, like the Travis Scott meal after he leaves office?
Oh, wow.
That's his next scheme.
Oh, wow. What do you think he eats? Do we know what he eats?
I think he gets Big Macs.
He eats crow.
Oh, shit.
He eats humble pie.
I'm Jeff Tiedrick.
I play in a fish cover band.
He eats at a Wendy's.
Does Jeff Tiedrick play in a fish cover band?
Hell yeah, dude.
I thought it was Eric Clapton cover band.
That's the most enlightened life. That's the most charmed life I've ever seen. You just play in a fish cover. Just the concept of a fish cover band. Fish is already dog shit enough. You do not need to cover them. This guy, Jeff Tiedrick, fish cover band. Then he just is in Trump's replies all day long. The guy has nothing else to do since quarantine because he can't play any fish cover band gigs. He just sits in Trump's replies all day long.
Yeah. I could set up a robot to do what Jeff Tiedrick does, both on Twitter and in his band.
But
I'm
you know
sure.
what? It wouldn't make him as happy.
It wouldn't have that touch. I just looked up Trump's McDonald's order. It's pretty rough. He gets two Big Macs, two filet of fishes, and a large chocolate milkshake.
Fuck. Oh,
yeah, filet of fish.
Say it one more time.
I like the filet of fish.
I just had an incredibly cursed thought. Okay, you know how there's like people who go around taping fish? and like people trade tapes of live concerts and like the Dead and Fish and shit.
Oh, I thought you were talking about fish, like filet.
What if
fish?
The filet? What if a taper scene springs up around Trump and people are like, "I'll trade you a 2016 campaign speech for your 2018 anti-impeachment speech."
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Very rare. Like, 1985 early Juicy Dumpers outtakes and blooper reel worth $1.6 million.
They're doing like actual soundboard recording mixes from like the rallies.
Really nice mix on a little bit of a filter on Trump's.
What you only hear the crowd when you want to hear the crowd or whatever.
We should make those. They're released as
Jared's Picks 23.
they're on archive.org.
Yeah.
When you download them, there's actually like there's an additional text file that just has like the Lord's Prayer in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
we should make these, take them and put them on tape and sell them to boomers. And it's like, this is like a high fidelity tape. No one's heard this before.
How hard would it be to scam boomers? Like, you get one product that they actually want. You make like weird Trump tapes or whatever. You send it out to them and it's just loaded with ads for like commemorative coins, Trump statues.
Do we talk about the Trump commemorative coins? We talk about those?
No, I don't think we did. But my Trump commemorative coin isn't real. They order it and then you just never send it to them. And now you have their money.
Oh, you don't even make a fake one. You just scam them. I would make a really shitty one.
Send them like a fucking chocolate coin wrapped in gold foil as like a joke.
Yeah, there
if you
want
to fuck with them.
Yeah. Technically, you sent them a coin.
No, there are these incredible Trump commemorative coins. I don't remember where I heard about them. Maybe I was like hanging out with my conservative relatives and they were listening to like conservative talk radio, which is like 90% commercials for like boomer dick pills and commemorative Trump coins and like 10% some guy who weighs 300 pounds screaming that Donald Trump actually won the election. But some of these coins are really sick. Like it's I'm on one of these like Donald Trump commemorative coin websites, and one of the coins is just Mount Rushmore plus Trump, like he's on Mount Rushmore, and it says the deplorables of their time.
Oh my
god! Wait, isn't is it Teddy Roosevelt on the?
Yeah, I don't think it's FDR.
There's always one guy who I completely forget is on Mount Rushmore.
I think he's the one who's really deep in.
It's like Washington, Lincoln.
I think Jefferson.
Or Thomas Adams, Jefferson?
Maybe?
He's not a president.
Ben Franklin, Harriet Tubman. the Trump coin that I landed on Amazon says 2020 Donald Trump coin authentic presidential re-election commemorative coin.
Oh no.
I hope it's marked down. I hope $870 wasn't the original price because
there's
$8?
One of these coin websites has a coin entitled China versus USA Trade War, and it's Xi Jinping and Donald Trump looking at it, just scowling at each other on this coin. And it's 2 ounces of sterling silver for $175. And I'm looking up the price of sterling silver just to see. Okay, like so sterling silver. Per ounce is about $25 right now. So the markup on this, 7 times as much as the actual silver cost, is what you're paying. No wonder we're in a fucking trade war with China. You're fucking gouging us on our coins.
You make me want to print out a shirt that's like, don't mess with a veteran of the US-China trade war who was born in August and eats Kraft dinner.
We should make those. I just sent you guys a picture of like a Trump Mount Rushmore clock, and it's just like Mount Rushmore and Trump's on top with a stupid grin on his face.
It's so poorly done. What
is that supposed to be? Trump? I can't really tell.
He looks so
like
bad.
Him.
It looks like Boris Johnson with an extra big mouth.
It's really funny because it's like one of those e-commerce things where it's like the title of the product has like they jammed as many words as they could to juice the search engine, but it clearly was made unironically for Trump supporters, but they labeled it a gag gift because it came out so bad. The only people that would buy this are like irony dirtbag leftists for their friends.
Yeah, like us. Yeah.
It costs $10. Like, how shitty must this thing be?
I am buying it right now.
It only tells time in metric.
What's metric? time.
Oh, you don't, buddy, you don't want to know.
Special metric time.
Oh, man, they make a fake news button. Customers who bought this item also bought the Trump fake news. It's like a big red button.
It's a big red button. That says, you are fake news.
I wonder if it makes noise.
We gotta get in on the Trump like swag grift. Come on,
we could repurpose it for Biden and sell like no malarkey buttons or something, and just really get all the fucking disease. Only like 10 people would buy it, though. I think there's only 10 Biden supporters.
Yeah, I don't know if there are Biden's. I'm always surprised that he even like won the election. Well
Biden grift products aren't like kitschy plastic junk that's
true.
You know, so brought in from China and sold in gift shops. The Biden grifts are like a $500 an hour lecture that explains to white people why they should kill themselves to relieve their privilege.
What's interesting about that is like Amy and I were driving around today, and I was like, there's a lot more Biden signs out. And it just seems like as soon as he won, everybody was like, oh yeah, I'll throw a Biden sign in my front yard.
Love being on the winning team.
That's like being a like a shop in an inner city and being racist, but like you hear like a Black Lives Matter protest is happening, so you put the sign in your window.
Yeah.
Well, it's like when I go by like a fucking McMansion, like out by where my parents live, and they have like love not hate and like Black Lives Matter signs in front of their like $3.9 million house. And I'm like, you could do a lot more than put out a sign, you stupid fuck.
Yeah, I think it's more like when all of a sudden you're a Cavs fan. You're like, we're about to win three championships in a row. Yeah. I've lived in Oklahoma my whole life, and I'm a Cavs fan.
I love the Thunder.
It could have been that the libs are just such sniveling, worthless cowards that it's just like they were afraid to put a sign in their lawn until it was clear that won because they were afraid of MAGA people.
Yeah.
I think that's correct. Yeah. I think that's literally right. Yeah. 100%.
That's so sad.
That's why tactically it was a fucking idiotic for them to even go through with the election. If Trump was the fascist that Pelosi and co have been screaming that he is, he wouldn't have even had an election. And his supporters, you know, that's their path to victory. Like true, just going full fash. But he's going to lose because he didn't have the balls to go through with it.
Yeah, he doesn't care. Yeah. There's no plan.
Mm-hmm. He had no plan. No, he's just fucking winging it because that's the American fucking way. And he's an all-American big wet boy.
I really think that the Trump campaign was just like, yeah, of course we're going to win. Why would we not win?
Yeah.
And then they were just like, they didn't even think they needed to do much except go around and do rallies and, you know, be like, Hunter Biden is a sex pest. And,
I would not be surprised if there was like some pretty significant vote tampering, but at this point it doesn't fucking matter because their path to victory was not to do electoralism.
Yeah, well, very silly. All right. Well, speaking of not doing electoralism, you could just be a fascist state that is a private state.
That's right.
And our private state that we live under, that we don't get to vote in, who are our kings, are called Amazon. We're in America, and our state is called Amazon. And
hey guys, don't you think it's kind of crazy how every year Amazon gets bigger, and yet the Amazon gets smaller?
Yeah, really makes you think, Bolsonaro.
Is that like woke Dennis Leary? Like, what the fuck is happening? Where Amazon's bigger and the real Amazon's smaller. Hello?
It sounds like Malthazar is turning back the clock, actually. And Amazon is getting smaller.
Look, a lot of people have said he makes weird references.
It's
a lot of people have said it's bad. It's bad that Amazon, you know, the conditions are bad in Amazon warehouses, that stuff like that. You know, I think it's just good. I think it's good for the left. I think it's good for the left that they're going to become the sole employer because, you know, things are so bad that if you die in an Amazon warehouse, that's going to radicalize you. Yeah. Come on.
I mean, you know, that's just immiseration theory. The worse that the conditions for the proletariat get, that's actually good because it means that eventually they'll fucking rise up. Marx talked about this in the Grundrisse, and I'm definitely not taking any part of it out of context.
And I don't love Nick Land. I actually don't think he's my favorite boyfriend.
What's their thing now?
So now Amazon has opened an online pharmacy. As the AP puts it, shaking up yet another industry.
Just shaking it up.
I don't have to go into Whole Foods to get my CBD gummies.
That's
yeah,
right.
Now you can just
order them on Amazon.
Order it from Amazon.
So hey, wait a minute. If Amazon sells medicine now and weed is my medicine, does that mean I can buy meds on Amazon?
Well, they sell you their cures while they suppress your medicine.
That's true. Right.
Whoa.
Search for weed, zero results. Search for Adderall, 500 results. Makes you think.
I mean, to be fair, I'd like some Adderall as well, but the weed is more important, I think.
Adderall is also your medicine. If it's John, you can't find any Adderall.
Honestly, this pill I found on the ground is my medicine. I'm not even looking up what it is.
Oh, it's just a Sour Patch Kid, man. Like, it's kind of medicine.
God, I'm looking up CBD on Amazon to see if they sell it. And I think it's only sellable on Amazon if you call it hemp extract. This other product came up, and it's in big letters, CBD, and then smaller letters under that, user, oral rinse. It's for apparently this is for dry mouth associated with CBD use. So
oh my
so
god, just drink a beer.
It's just it's just saline that you rinse your mouth with after you did too much CBD.
I love the ones that they're
that
like
doesn't happen.
I love the ones where they're like, this is hemp oil for your pet. Like, I'm gonna waste any fucking good money on my pet. Are you kidding me?
My dog can't even ask me if it's kicked in yet. It's like, how am I supposed to know if it's working?
I won't even give my cats a little crumble of the bacon if it's the good bacon. You think I'm going to spend right. $25 on pet hemp oil? You're out of your fucking mind.
No, I let my dog have a little bit of everything I eat, except, you know, if it's poison. But like,
or pussy.
Brent, he said everything, and he meant
that's
everything.
All right.
That's right.
He do be eating poison once or twice a week.
Look, I don't want to get into a serious thing about white women, but you know, we've all heard the stories. But
we've all heard the stories. Okay, so Amazon has apparently during the COVID pandemic figured out a way to you know, have some sort of supply chain where they're basically just selling CVS and Walgreens, selling pharmaceutical products. The stocks of CVS, Walgreens, and Rite Aid tumbled on Tuesday.
Took a little tumble.
So yeah, I think one of the things that this reminds me of is Walmart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like Walmart.
Oh, absolutely.
There was a certain level of understanding at a certain point that Walmart was going to come to your town, and they were going to have a vision doctor and a regular doctor and a Starbucks, and it was just going to be this big monolith gray square that was just basically going to undercut every single business in your town, and that's all there would be. And yep. That basically happened until there was a huge backlash, and yep. And then some states started just being like, you can't do this here. Like
Costco, welcome to the resistance.
2000 to like 2000 and I don't know, 15 or so, it like stopped being a thing probably like in the past, I don't know, 6 or 7 years. But that's the thing, because Amazon is doing the exact same thing. They're not even coming to your town. They have a fulfillment center in whatever within 100 miles of you is the cheapest real estate, and that's what they operate out of. They don't even give a shit enough to invest in commercial real estate in your town, and they're doing it. They're 100 times more evil than Walmart, which is already one of the most
evil
companies that exists.
So what you're saying is, if we really want to go after Amazon, instead of attacking them directly, we need to shut down internet service providers.
I mean, yes,
that's a great
correct.
Idea.
Ray Bradbury was right about the internet. so was Ted Kaczynski.
Start doing mesh networks.
Yeah, we need a little more P2P going on. You know what I'm talking about?
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Get back to that file sharing life. Remember mm-hmm. Napster and LimeWire? What if that was the whole internet?
That would be good, actually.
Yeah, put our podcast on there.
You know what? If we had a real mesh internet, we would never be dealing with fleets. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. That's fucking right.
Think about all the things that make you depressed. Social media, other social media, all of the things that didn't exist like 50,000 years ago when we were just fucking humans running through the fucking forest collecting twigs and berries, that all these things make you fucking miserable, keep you just scrolling through things. What if that didn't exist? What if you could just be that human running through the forest collecting twigs and berries again?
They say you could live to be 100 if you didn't do any of the things that made it worth it. But I say you can live to be 100 if you interface with a soul-crushing society that will artificially keep you alive to steal your productivity that long.
Yep.
Exactly.
Amazon is being the evil fucking monopoly that it is. And it's just like, I don't know. Obviously, it's going to keep happening until there's some, you know, the contradictions of the terrible way they treat their workers to the obvious monopoly that they're holding over everything. So people are just going to start fighting back. Someone will make some lib documentary called Amazon, the high cost of low prices or whatever.
And I don't know about that.
I watched that Walmart one in like my high school English class. Yeah, everyone's like,
it's
crazy.
Those documentaries don't actually serve to like threaten these fucking corporations. Those are there so that we can all like wring our hands about it and worry about it and have really intense little huddles about it while it fucking happens and we don't do anything to stop it. Like in a lot of way, like a lot of times I think like these exposés, these supersize me or whatever is really just advertising for the fucking companies that it proposes that it's standing against.
Well, that's the thing, because they use it as a Oppo research.
Yeah.
Oh, somebody was nice enough to give us a list of all the things we need to be more secretive about.
Yeah.
Or the things we need to figure out other ways to justify or put a PR spin on or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Amazon will be successful and will own and control basically everything within the next 10 years, because they learned from the mistakes of the past. They learned from the Waltons that, hey, you don't actually need to have, you know, a physical, it's actually a downside to have a physical place where the lowest common denominator of society can come and then get pictures taken of them and posted on a blog when they wear their stretch pants.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff Bezos realized the Walton family's greatest mistake, which was not wearing tactical vests and shaving their heads.
Right, you got it. It's so important.
Yeah. Well, speaking of somebody who is encouraging me to wear a tactical vest, shave my head, among doing other things, apparently on Fox News, somebody named Dr. Scott Atlas has encouraged large holiday gatherings because he says for many people, this is their last Thanksgiving.
And those are rookie numbers. Honestly, we got to pump those numbers up. So invite as many people as you can to your Thanksgiving and just try to end it for as many folks as possible.
This is as opposed to the Democrats, which have all been telling us to stay home, despite the fact that pictures came out the other day of the Thanksgiving banquet that the Democrats are going to be holding with golden chairs and tables in a giant banquet hall in the Capitol.
Yeah.
They are going to eat a fucking gilded Thanksgiving. They're going to have like the Goldschlager equivalent of stuffing and turkey. And you have to stay at home alone in your pod, and you can't even see your family. Even if you've been tested, stay at home. Stay in your pod, you fucking pleb.
The Democrats are giving us concessions, though, right? They kicked out the Cheeto Man, and they want to do a little bit of student debt relief, and they acknowledge the Duma, and they signed the Magna Carta. That should be good enough, right? Like, that should be all of the dialing back we need.
Suck my fucking dick, dude.
What is the Duma?
I was like, that the provisional government thing in Russia before the revolution, I think.
Yeah, the 1905 revolution, they got the Tsar to recognize it, and then it didn't fucking mean anything. The Tsar kept doing Tsar shit, and then they had the 1917 revolution where they were like, okay, you're dead now. Yeah.
that one's weed too, the 1917.
That's right.
You know, the pretext is they don't want you to get together with your family for Thanksgiving. What they're really saying is, please, you know, spend more time alone. Don't do this thing that you do once a year where, you know, you forget about the fucking miserable neoliberal atomization that you live under every day. And you see your family, and it's under the guise of like, don't infect your family members. They don't even say like, oh, take proper precautions if you're going to see your family for Thanksgiving. They say don't do Thanksgiving.
The whole thing is like we're torn between the Democrats who are like, this is a matter of personal responsibility, and the Republicans who are like, you don't have to be responsible for anything. Nobody is responsible for anything. And neither of those are a fucking solution to this problem. The solution to the problem is institutional responsibility. But this is American politics. That's completely foreclosed. It will never, ever happen. So
that's right.
We're just fucked, basically.
So, you know, while we live under American, you know, the American state, whatever they do, whatever they, the authoritarian shit they want to do, they will tell you it's to protect you, but it really is just to continue doing the same shit they've been doing for decades.
Yeah. I mean, because of them, I think, unfortunately, like, I'm not brave enough to like go see my family. I'm not gonna do that because I don't want to get sick.
But I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, that's
I've already been hanging out with my family.
It's completely up to like your own personal calculus of like, I hope I've read enough fucking like Vox articles that are like, I guess this is how the virus works. And that's all they expect you to do is just like hope that you don't get it. Mm-hmm. So if you don't care about getting,
there's no educational outreach. Like, you know, all the fucking socialist countries aren't perfect, but at least they like, we're like, okay, we're going to fill up a bunch of like TV, you know, time with like outreach and let people know like what our discoveries are and talk to them about it. The United States is like, I bet some fucking YouTubers will take care of it. Yeah. I bet Joe Rogan will talk about it on his show and then everybody will know what's going on.
Yeah. Ezra Klein and Hank Green will be like,
they got it covered.
I'll be like, oh yeah, coronavirus. This is how it works. So figure it out.
Mm-hmm. I think ContraPoints made a video about that. We don't actually have to do that.
Well, speaking of something that you may soon be required to do while you stay at home in your pod, don't see any of your loved ones, and wither away from loneliness, Deutsche Bank, famously
you gotta do a douche bank.
Non-problematic. They've never done anything bad, and they have nothing to do with anything that Jeffrey Epstein ever did.
That's right.
That's correct.
Deutsche Bank has said that remote workers should be taxed for the privilege of earning a living from home.
That's right.
If you work from home, you deserve to pay more in taxes for the privilege of not contributing to the commercial real estate economy.
I think Deutsche Bank should be taxed for the privilege of having so much fucking money.
I would like to tax every Deutsche Bank CEO's penis off of their body.
100% penis tax?
100% dick tax.
You can keep your balls.
For everyone who works at Deutsche Bank.
That's interesting. So you want to be rich. That's fine. You can be a rich person, but you need to pay one of your reproductive organs in tax.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Pound of flesh, everybody.
I don't know how many would go for it and how many wouldn't. Because people like Bill Clinton and Epstein would be like, no way, I want to be rich so I can fuck.
Yeah.
But some of them, like Bill Gates, like, probably would be like,
Henry Kissinger. Henry Kissinger, whose dick just shriveled up into his body like 45 years ago anyway.
Yeah. Like, maybe just not sexless, the best solution.
Power monsters. Yeah. Who knows? There's a smack.
But it would make me feel better.
There's a whole wide world of sick bourgeois fucks out there.
Now, a lot of people, there have been a lot of takes about this. My take is, you know, there used to be a tax break if you used part of your home for your job, right? If you have a home office, you get to write that off on your taxes because the people who exploit your labor have invaded your home and are making you be productive in the sanctity of your own home, which normally is my place to sit, watch TV, drink beer, and scratch my balls. But now they're making, you know, if they make you work from home, the takes that I've seen are that people are like, well, this tax will only affect PMC or professional people who are able to work from home. And it's like, that's completely untrue.
Yeah.
There are millions of workers who work in call centers, who do clerical work, who do spreadsheets, shit that is, they're completely working class and they're working from home.
Accounting interns, paralegals,
these Deutsche Bank fucks, these analysts want them to pay. They want them to pay the additional burden because they get to work from home while their counterparts, essential workers, have to work in, you know, shitty conditions with their masks.
Right.
It is literally pitting crabs in a bucket against each other.
Yeah, I think I think, and I didn't really read this or participate in this discussion at all, so please tell me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure at the very bottom of the article or something, it's like, and we think that that would come out of the, like, it wouldn't come out of people's paychecks or whatever. It would mm-hmm. like, we're saying that the companies should have to pay per person they have working at home a 5% tax.
No, say goodbye to any raise.
Well, and like,
anybody doesn't just take, you know, that money out of the people's paychecks anyway.
Yeah, as if companies haven't like gotten to be the size they are by decades and decades of figuring out how to make the costs the workers' problem and keep all the profits.
Right, as if that's not exactly the whole fucking point.
Right, it's they say, oh, workers should be taxed for the privilege of working from home. What they mean is, we are terrified of the coming commercial real estate apocalypse now that millions of workers have realized that they don't have to go into a miserable office every day to do their job.
Yeah, they never
and
have to do
we
that.
we want the lowest paid working class people to subsidize the catastrophic crash in this commercial real estate market that's coming.
Right. And I think what also is, I think what I didn't see anybody mention about what is stupid and horrific about all of this is that they're not even pretending to just like take economic policy from businesses. Like this is a guy who ran for president and mayor, Bloomberg, right? Mm-hmm. Publishing the CIA saying, this is what we should do. And everyone's just saying, like, I guess this is a part of the conversation now. And if the government did this, then it would just be like, yeah, well, we talked about it. Like, it's all this sort of like manufacturing consent bullshit that is just bog standard now. It's just like how it goes, where it's just like somebody from a huge fucking $1 billion CIA front is like, we should do this, and then it just happens.
Well, we talked about it. You guys missed the meeting. We like, all
there's
discussed
no voting on this. There's yeah. there's no voting against, you know, imperialism. There's no voting against capitalism. It just happens, and it's like, why are you telling us this? Why you don't care what we think about it. I don't know why I'm reading this.
It's like the student loan shit. The discourse about Biden. Oh, Biden's going to cancel your student loans. Horse shit. Biden is not going to cancel shit. It's going to be a fucking busy box for people to talk about. Oh, what if he canceled this extremely specific identity group's student loans? That would be good, right? Oh, what if you worked in a disadvantaged area in public service for X amount of years, you got this yeah. much percentage off your student loans? A universal student loan forgiveness is not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. And the Democrats will dangle this in front of you for probably years. They'll be like, look, we just look, you know, we got the House, we got the White House, and we, you know, we could probably
couldn't
do a coalition.
That Senate.
We couldn't grab the Senate, so we can't do it. Sorry. Please donate, though. Trump's a fascist. Please donate.
The pretending that they were ever going to court left-wing ideas is just fucking ridiculous in the first place. And the idea that they can even dangle this shit in front of us now is so ridiculous that anybody would believe it even for a moment when Joe yeah. Biden has explicitly repeated over and over, especially since he was elected, but even just during the regular election, that his whole plan is to reach out to moderate Republicans, a group that A, doesn't exist, and B, just wants us all to fucking die anyway. So it's yeah. like, if you think that they're ever going to like seriously court the idea of student loan forgiveness, if you think they're ever going to seriously like court any, not just the Green New Deal, but any of the individual pieces of the Green New Deal, you are a fucking moron who does not learn their lesson. I bet you would walk into the same low-hanging doorframe 100 fucking times in a row.
Not yeah. if you forget it's there. If you're tall and it's like,
you can walk your head at it. Look, I'm not that stupid. No, I mean, I haven't actually, you know, it's funny. I haven't even actually heard where that comes from. I know that there is like I just know that there's discourse now on in the internet and on the media. Like, I've seen articles like, what if Joe Biden canceled student debt? Did he say that?
So I looked, it seems
what
like
if
he
Joe
was
Biden
saying,
shits himself and nobody notices.
Well, does it still sink?
Yeah. It seems like Joe Biden's campaign said, like, or like, I don't know, transition team now was like, mm-hmm. he might do $10,000 of relief. And then other people like Chuck Schumer were like, he should do $50,000. So he's like, maybe I'll do a tiny amount.
There's no accountability. There's no stakes for Chuck Schumer when he says that. He can just be like, oh, yeah, you know, they should do, every American should get a pony. And then when it comes time to, like, there's an opportunity for him to actually do that, he's just like, yeah, more money to Israel.
I think, that's what we said, Israel, right? We all love it.
I think if Joe Biden really wants to get serious about canceling student debt, he should do a walkathon and ask for pledges per mile.
There we go.
I think if he's going to call out student debt, he needs to go on Twitter and call them out. Mm-hmm. They'll be canceled.
Do some canceling. Yeah, post a fleet directly to their tweet. They'll be canceled.
I mean, like, all you would really have to do is, like, audit the companies that, like, keep people on the hook for these student loan debts, and then everything would be fixed. But I think that that would indict the very people who would initiate the audit. So, you know, again, American politics completely forecloses any opportunity for meaningful change in an electoral or a legislative sense.
Right. I just find it so hard to believe that anybody is, like, really expecting that if you know, put enough pressure on your elected officials, they'll do something. It's like, this is all, I mean, I don't know. They might do it. Like,
have we
this
tried
might
literal pressure? Have we tried just standing on them until they do what we want?
Or a vice of some kind?
Yeah, maybe just like pressing a gun barrel to their head very carefully.
That's correct. Pressure.
I feel like there's a chance just because of the fact that everyone is talking about it and there's been absolutely no substantial, like, commitment to or any sort of real policy proposal. The fact that that has happened and the media is all over it makes me feel like this is something that they feel like they could easily do and means test it enough so that it actually, you know, helps a specific amount of Biden voters, and then they would do it, and then it'd be like, remember when Joe Biden, and it was just a thing that liberals would be able to hit, you know, Keith Olbermann or Jake Tapper or whatever would be able to just hit you over the head and be like, he fucking canceled your student loan, you dumb kid.
Do you remember Obamacare?
Do you remember Obamacare?
Do you mean Romney Care? How shitty it was? How much it sucked ass?
It still is.
How many people it left out in the cold? That's what they gave you instead of universal health care. Right. What the fuck makes you think they'll give you anything comparable to actual student loan forgiveness? They're going to give you the Obamacare version of student loan forgiveness. It's going to be means tested to shit. It's going to be completely fucking useless. Fuck you. You get nothing. You get nothing.
That's right. You don't get anything because they don't care about you. So that'll be fun to have that conversation for all of this month.
It's a fucking busy box.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what that means. Is that like a
busy box is like a fidget cube or something? It's like literally
you give it to a baby.
Give it to somebody and it's like, here, why don't you worry about, it's like a piece of paper where it's like, turn over to see answer. And then on the other side, it says turn over to see answer. And it's just like, this will keep them busy for a bit.
Yeah.
Right.
I think I'll just do a different busy,
you know,
box
because
in that
what
time,
they want
to playing
do
a video game.
Is, what they want to do is go to war with Iran.
Oh, sure. Joe Biden's very excited for that one.
Hell yes. Let's go. Let's fucking go.
So Trump this week, since the election, has been going hog wild on fucking trying to go to war with Iran. There's been two articles that I've read that kind of talk about this.
I've been wondering which country I was finally going to get to defect to. Looks like I need to learn Farsi.
Got it. Yeah, so Axios was reporting literally the day after the election, Trump administration plans flood of sanctions on Iran by January 20th.
Isn't it already sanctioned? How much more can they sanction it?
That's exactly question you should be asking.
Coming this summer, sanctions too.
Electric boogaloo.
Much worse than weed too.
Trump has decided to move forward building a giant glass dome over all of Iran, sanctioning their air.
and suffocating them with white phosphorus. Yeah, so I hope we don't have to explain to our listeners, but if you are new here, if this is the first episode you've ever listened to of this, I'm sorry, but also...
it's a great one.
I'm having a good time, I'm just saying. But sanctions are an act of war. Sanctions, if you don't know what they are, they are basically strangling the poor, removing their access to certain things like food, normal kinds of resources.
Anything they trade with other countries for. We're like, if you trade that to them, we'll punish you.
Right. So when you basically starve the people.
It's a bad PR move to just outright go to war with the country.
Yeah.
You just cut off their food supply. You cut off their access to something. You make them starve to death. You cause a fucking famine like Yemen. You do shit like they fucking do to Venezuela, where it's like the country would gladly engage in trade, but there's a fucking embargo. So and the entire goal of it is to make it so miserable for the citizens that they eventually rise up because you think that they're going to blame the regime, when in reality and in a lot of cases they know that it's the fucking United States and the fucking like neoliberal global hegemonic apparatus.
Right. And it almost never works.
It's not just food, it's also medicine, right? So like you essentially end up doing eugenics, like imperial eugenics, where you're like, oh, this country doesn't want to play ball with us. They don't get insulin anymore. They don't get cancer medicine.
Just imagining how pissed off a country would be if we cut off their supply of dick pills in an embargo.
That might actually get
the Saudi Arabia.
You want to get Putin to play ball? You cut off the fucking boner pills.
The boner pill embargo is literally the is actually what creates the nuclear holocaust.
2 weeks later, like the White House has been nuked. What if that accelerationist move? Get Joe Biden and be like, shouldn't you embargo their dick pills? They shouldn't get to have hard dicks.
Yeah, Steve Bannon pushing the dick pill embargo. Yeah. So Trump, who I've heard some weird things about Trump being like not a war hawk, or you know, his administration doing, but that's not true. Like Trump
To an extent it is true. It is 100% a result of like incompetence and just being a fucking idiot.
Yeah, it's
absolutely a side effect of Trump not wanting to appear as a loser. It's not out of some desire to like do anything good for America. It's 100% Trump being a fucking coward.
Right. And but also not really understanding how the apparatus works. And so doing mob boss shit, like apparently it also came out, and I didn't put this in the bones, but it also came out just last month that Trump had been asking repeatedly if he could kill Assad.
What?
And it was reported by Bob Woodward in I think what was that book called, Fury or something.
Mm-hmm. I'm a dumb loser and my butt stinks.
But then Trump, then
it would rule if he did that, but let's be real, Syria would just end up like another Libya.
Right. I don't think it'd be good. Not that I am a big Assad fan or anything. He's a liberal shill.
Are you bapping?
Yeah, I'm back.
Are you a Bapin Assadist?
I don't know who that person is.
I don't think anyone. I don't think
a lot
know.
Of people's criticism of Assad is that the argument that he's a linchpin of anti-imperialism doesn't really hold up. But the idea isn't that like we should be like, oh, Assad is bad. We should be like, Assad doesn't go far enough. You know, we don't need the end of Assadism. We need turbo Assadism.
I didn't even know there was a ism. He doesn't have any writings or anything.
I don't think
right?
it is. It's just fucking. It's just internet people arguing over whether authoritarianism is a real thing that exists or not.
Look, you know, personally, anybody who is best friends with Israel and Turkey is okay in my book. Yeah. That's right.
So But yeah, he was just like, I'm going to murder the leader of a state. Like, you can't just do that. And Mattis was like, no, you're not allowed. I won't let you to do that.
But I want to.
That's really disappointing, because it would rule if there were, if Trump actually was surrounded by people who were just like, yeah, bro, let's go.
Do it.
Yeah.
Why not?
The United States, extremely interesting.
That would have been the actual accelerationist thing, right? We would have like lost three conflicts really fast. Everything would have tanked and there would have been no recovery plan, which
that was W. Bush. That was literally what they did. They had Cheney and Colin Powell.
Yeah.
And we are still here, amazingly. Capitalism is so much more resilient than anybody gives it credit for. We got to figure out a way to smash it.
Unfortunately.
Post-fascism is so fucking strong. I can't believe how big it's gotten.
Yeah. Maybe it's like one of those things that's like tough but brittle. You just need to figure out the right angle to hit it at.
If you hit it... the perfect bit of satire, maybe. Like maybe Alec Baldwin needs to do more impressions of Trump.
Yeah.
That'll shatter the entire facade.
I really appreciate you saying that, Chris. It has redoubled my effort to make my jokes so good that they end capitalism.
Yeah, that's the whole plan. You can hear
it reverberate out of the microphone. It's just like, whoa, it's all over. My money's crumbled to dust. My bank account is empty. It doesn't mean anything anymore.
It's like the end of Fight Club and up in here. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so Trump had said that he wants to... Well, he didn't personally. His administration. And this is the thing, is that like half of his administration is just like doing business as usual of like United States imperialism. And like, I don't know or care if Trump like is the one who wanted to, you know, go after Iran. But he also plans to designate Yemen's Houthis as terrorists.
Oh, that rules.
According to
foreignpolicy.com,
the move opposed by the humanitarian community is part of the administration's pressure on campaign on Iran and could hamstring Biden.
Look, I just want to make this clear that this is in no way a reflection of all of the hours of the day that I've been spending on Ted Nugent's social media, but I think we should, bomb them all and let God sort them out.
Yeah, they're all the same, basically, Houthis.
That's right.
And the Mujahideen and the white helmets.
Mm, I don't care if your helmet's white or purple. That's what I said.
Look, if your helmet stays purple for more than 5 hours, you should see a doctor.
You should call your doctor. Yeah.
Hey, you know, they say do unto others as you would have done unto you. And I would prefer it if another country brought democracy to the United States. So go get them, boys.
Really, the purple helmets became the white helmets after Syria was embargoed for dick pills.
Ah, that's what happens. Yeah. It's like the soft floppy helmet doesn't even work.
This fucking helmet doesn't even work.
It doesn't even do anything. It
doesn't even do anything.
Now, you don't understand. A normal helmet is tough but brittle, okay? These will actually absorb the bullet.
It's like a big sponge. Just running into battle with a gigantic sponge on your head, and if it gets shot, the bullet just stops like halfway through. It's even more riddled with holes.
I'm imagining it like 3 feet wide.
It's got to be pretty big, I think.
So, tactical combat gear, you're basically just going to look like the Michelin Man eventually.
You're just going to look like SpongeBob doing karate.
Maybe like one of those cheese heads you wear at like a like football game in Wisconsin.
Right. But anyway, so don't think that we're not going to stop. I don't think that we're going to stop doing insane imperialism against the Middle East to try and secure that fucking oil. That's the whole point of America. And Joe Biden will only do it better and quieter. So keep your eye peeled for that.
If anything, Trump was like a pumping the brakes on neoliberal imperialism. It was just like Trump is such an idiot and he's such a coward that if you want to get real fucking tinfoil hat, real real galaxy brain, like Trump, the fucking deep state hated Trump. I mean, that's what they've been claiming for years. But in reality, like, Trump is everything the deep state hated, right?
Yeah.
He bumbled into being protectionist on trade. He bumbled into fucking not starting any imperialist wars abroad. And he bumbled into, like, actually trying to do things for the American, like, working class
I don't know about
as
that
he as he sees them, like, because in Trump's mind the only working class guy is like I don't know, a fucking
Stan Chera,
a former coal miner who actually died of COVID like 2 months ago.
What Trump did to American politics is the same thing that like fucking capital does to politics just broadly, is like he deterritorialized it with one hand. He like created all of these paths away from the normal way of dealing things, the normal social order. But then on the other hand, he reified them and reterritorialized them and turned them back into social norms. So my issue is like, we have this liberal,
I don't know what any of that means.
Well, we have this liberal incoming president who wants to do Obama style politics in a post Trump era. Like Trump, he made a bunch of mistakes that were good if you isolate them. But by the same token, what he really did was like ramp up the levels of permissivity for just like insane fucking imperialist bullshit. Like nobody's going to bat an eye when Joe Biden does all of the shit Obama did and more. And only when it gets turned up to 11 past that are people going to start taking issue with it. Like our threshold for what's too far is now just like, an order of magnitude further out than it was before.
And our fucking lens is so like zeroed in on the presidency that it's like, you know, electoralism is bullshit because no matter who fucking sits in that White House, like it keeps getting shittier. Shitty shit keeps happening. And even if for a second there's a guy in there that's doing different shitty shit and doesn't do the normal shitty shit, and he disrupts the shitty shit from happening, he's still going to do shitty shit. And then the other guy that gets in does shitty shit, but because he's not doing the aesthetically shitty shit that the previous guy was doing, even the most limp dick fucking liberal, like think they're good people kind of assholes cheer him on.
Right. It's sort of like the Overton window of shit.
Yeah, basically. It's all trash. It's all shit.
But I think it's
like going to the choke and puke and they ask, do you want an order of the shit or the shitty shit?
Yeah. because I think I buy a little bit. I personally buy that the deep state wanted him out.
Absolutely.
And I do think that he was very useful for a while. I think they lost control a little bit and he was a bit more than they bargained for. But I think that he did do stuff that really fucked them up. But in a lot of ways, it only kind of like, you know, he's responsible for like one of the biggest transfers of wealth to the ruling class.
It's almost like in a long time. He immunized the establishment against like being too crazy, you know, like nobody's ever going to accuse a Biden presidency of going too far or breaking too many rules or social norms because he came after Trump. So
yeah, he can do anything. He can just stand up there and talk about rock candy and fingering Sandy on the beach like he just in 1963 or whatever, and people are like, yeah, he's just normal. This is normal, actually.
If you want to hurt your brain, look up like tweets where it's like Biden announces possible members of his staff, and there's hundreds of libs who are just like, they're not named Biden? That's amazing. I love that he picked these people. They're so qualified. Yeah. They have no idea who these people are. They're probably all horrible ghouls, but just that he's not hiring his literal children. They're like, wow, he picks the smartest person on earth to do this.
Biden names Adolf Hitler to run Health and Human Services, and the libs are like, well, at least it's not Trump.
At least it's not Hunter Trump. Biden.
Yeah. It's not Barron Trump, so it's actually good.
All right. Speaking of being very crazy and no one caring, something happened this week with Jeffrey Epstein, who RIP. Shout out to Mr. Epstein.
He's not dead. I saw him like last week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you did that
in Tel Aviv.
I thought he was.
Yeah. He was using a Zoom chat with. We were playing Among Us with him.
He was eating
pretty fun.
Baba Ganoush. Yeah.
He's really good at being the imposter. He's a really good liar.
In Among Us. Yeah. So NBC News reported this, and I saw almost nobody talking about it. FBI wanted to arrest Epstein at Virgin Islands beauty pageant months before plea deal was cut. So this is back in 2007. An FBI supervisor was extremely upset about being denied the opportunity to arrest Epstein in 2007. So this is sort of kind of a whistleblower story, but goddamn, does it feel like a limited hangout. But what happened was, is that NBC News got a 347-page report on an executive summary released on Thursday about the probe into Epstein's sex abuse investigation. Now, if you remember, if you haven't been thinking about this for a while, Jeffrey Epstein was charged with sex crimes in the mid-2000s in Florida, though not federally, just in the state of Florida.
Right. This was when Alex Acosta was like a U.S. attorney in Florida.
That's right.
Right.
So back then in 2007, the FBI had a warrant, wanted to get a warrant, or they wanted to get to arrest Epstein in the Virgin Islands during a quote unquote beauty pageant.
After Epstein went to the Virgin Islands, they were just known as the Islands.
Because I believe it was probably his island, which is in the Virgin Islands, Little St. James.
Well, I mean, we know that, like, time and time again, Epstein got a pass from somebody very high up whenever somebody kind of a little lower in intelligence agencies was onto him.
Yes. And so this is just another one of those things where somebody was like, wait a minute, we know he's like trafficking children. And somebody said, yeah, but you're not allowed. And what's great is that this article doesn't say who denied it. It doesn't even really say what agency, let alone a name.
So this is about the person who told Alex Acosta, like, don't charge him, like, get, because the insane thing about that was that, like, he struck a deal that was basically like, Epstein will plead guilty, but then he or anyone else involved can never be charged with a crime for doing it, which is like the most insane deal. They never give people deals.
He's
like
an
that
intelligence asset,
right?
And so he
wait a minute, do so you think Jeffrey Epstein was secretly Obama's mom?
I can't dispute it. It might
Obama's
have happened.
Obama's mom.
I don't know. Both
that's
intelligence
true
assets.
Obama's, I forgot that she was an intelligence asset. She was married to like some Indonesian guy or something.
Yeah, I think someone like his stepdad in Indonesia was like a guy who worked like for the CIA or like was an asset helping like arrest, you know, quote unquote communists.
God, this is disgusting. This is absolutely totally gross, and it's a big yikes for me.
It's,
you know,
big,
because look, at the end of the day, like, Jeffrey Epstein got a pass from law enforcement, from intelligence agencies, from the federal government over and over again. And why was that? Why do you think that he got a pass?
Because he's a white man.
White privilege. White male privilege. All right. That's all it was, folks.
Yeah. There's nothing
else. This could have easily been solved with a 12,000-word Tumblr post a decade ago.
Man, imagine if we would have had Tumblr when Jeffrey Epstein was at the height of his powers.
Oh, no.
It would have been over for him.
Over. Yeah. Done. No chance.
Y'all, there's just a guy named Jeffrey Epstein, and he rapes children, and no one's done anything about it? This is really giving me feel crazy. Can you, can you guys reblog this?
I can't believe some of you people
are following
this guy. We're going to
get him, and then we're going to take down Jeffrey Epstein, and then we're going to take down Coney.
2012, baby.
That was heady times on the internet.
Did anyone ever figure out who that was? Like, what was that actually?
What?
Coney 2012?
Yeah, what were they trying to do?
Was that some sort of like...
Well, they were trying to do something.
It was
like,
thinly veiled racism.
Sure, but it seemed like it was a very a very specific type of psyop. Because it was everywhere.
There was some kind of grift involved, I imagine. Like, somebody had to have made a ton of money off that never went to helping African kids or anything like that.
Of course.
Remember when the guy like ran naked down the street? And he was like, was because of exhaustion.
Yeah, and he was just like jerking it in the middle of the street.
Yeah, he's like jerking it on the roof of a car. It was like, yeah, that was because I was really tired.
We really got to figure out our Coney 2012 grift. Mm-hmm. All right? Listeners, write in if you want to collab on a grift. You know, just do it, you know, Just be quiet about it. That's why we hid this at the end of the episode when we're asking you for grift ideas. Because honestly, I could use a couple $100 million.
Yeah. If you have any ideas for a grift, please send them to me by attaching a .txt file to a torrent upload of all the seasons of Ed, Edd, and Eddy. I would really appreciate it.
No, it's simple. We move to a state where it's legal to sell weed. We start a dispensary that's close to a different one, and we say we're selling weed too, and it costs twice as much money.
Boom, four times done as and high. Done.
Or we start. Here's the thing: we start a boner pill company, and then We start lobbying the Republicans to perform boner pill sanctions in Saudi Arabia, We start making like a kind of underground railroad style line to Saudi Arabia so that they can get them shipped to them.
I am already picturing myself diving into a pile of cash, Scrooge McDuck style.
Yeah, I think.
Think about it. Who produces the world's? Who's the largest world producer of dick pills? China. Who has the smallest dicks? China. If they're exporting all their dick pills and we embargo them so they can't re-import them once they've been exported, then we have them buy the balls, although they're small, and we can finally do America first. Trump 2024, baby.
Yeah, fuck it. Let's just do it and be legends.
That's his plan. That's been four years thinking of that one.
Oh yeah. All right. Thanks so much for listening. That's our plan. We will be keeping you updated on what the plan is as we do it.
Trust the plan.
Trust the plan. Hashtag trust the plan. Press no one.
Hashtag stop the steal.
Check out the latest Q drop. It might look suspiciously like my most recent album on Bandcamp, but don't be fooled. It's very important.
It's just a file name that says Lumineer or whatever. Okay. Thanks so much for listening to BB Bledis. It has been great talking with you. If you are not a subscriber of our Patreon, maybe you should check out our Patreon, patreon.com/BB Bledis. Otherwise, you can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at WeedPod, and you can follow us all individually from there. You can hang out with us on Mid-Posting on Facebook. It's a fun little place to post silly things and memes and stuff. Check out my other show, Generation Loss and Left Trigger, that I have with Chris. And check out John's other show, Work Stoppage. You can find those anywhere podcasts are sold, or not sold, for that matter.
They're selling podcasts now, folks.
Yeah, that's because we're capitalists, if you couldn't tell.
That's right. We exchange money for goods and services.
That's right.
Every time I go to the bodega and buy an egg sandwich because I'm hungover as shit, I'm doing capitalism.
That's what capitalism is. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of info you will hear on this show from now on.
That's called theory.
Yeah. That's called doing the work.
Yeah. It's called leaning in and stepping back and centering marginalized
and falling
voices.
Down and getting on
that's
my
right.
knees.
Yeah. Yes. That's bodies and spaces right there.
And praying to Jesus.
Four bodies in three spaces.
Beep on.
See you in the Discord
every day.
Love you. Bye.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Send